We're coming this morning to the book of Nehemiah. We'll just keep our seats. Nehemiah chapter 4. To all the shepherds in the congregation, Lammy, next year, Andrew's willing to give you a hand. So just you look about Andrew and he'll be able to do some of the night shifts for you. But thank you, Andrew, for that great story. Numbers chapter 4, and we'll begin to read at verse number 1, please. Nehemiah chapter 4, my apologies. Nehemiah chapter 4. And we're reading from verse number 1. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down the stone, their stone wall. Hear, O God, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their approach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. We landed verse number 9, and we do trust the Lord to bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. President Woodrow Wilson once said, I would rather feel temporarily in a cause that cannot lose than win temporarily in a cause that cannot win. Let me say that again. I would rather feel temporarily in a cause that cannot lose than win temporarily in a cause that cannot win. There's no doubt in our walk with the Lord and in our service for the Lord, there can be times of failure. And yet, we have to be reminded that we're on the victory side. Ultimately, we will win. Ultimately, we will stand before the Lord and we'll see him face to face and we'll be with him for all eternity. And the people of God are going to find the difficulties here. They've began the work. Things have been going so well. And when things are going so well, you can expect what we find in chapter 4, verse 1. But. There's always a but, isn't there? And something was about to happen. There was going to be trouble from without, and then there would be trouble within. If the enemies of the gospel had a slogan, it would have been quite simple. Let's stop the work. Let's stop the Jews. And no doubt the old enemy himself, old Satan, and that roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour, no doubt he would love to stop the work in Refrainant. He would love to stop the work in your life personally. He would love to stop you seeking to build your family and protect it in these difficult days. He will do what he can to try and stop the work, to hinder the work, or to cause it to feel. Sometimes I'm perhaps a little bit oversensitive. And like the Americans during the Cold War, some of you will remember, they were looking for a red under every bed. And everyone was suspected of being a communist. And sometimes I'm maybe looking for trouble when there's no trouble really there. I can be oversensitive and I don't want to become paranoid about this. But I do believe that as we seek to move forward as an assembly, I do believe the devil will be out to thwart things, to stop things, and to hinder things. Now, whether it's your life personally, whether it's your family, or whether it's the work here in the assembly, the old enemy will not give up and will not give up lightly. So this morning we want to see Nehemiah and this team of workers as they're gathered around this wall. They've been working so sincerely and so committedly. And we want to see the trouble that they're going to face. I've entitled the message, Trouble in the Rubble. There's going to be trouble in the rubble this morning. First of all, let me say that trouble will find you. Trouble will find you. Don't go looking for trouble. Because let me tell you, as a child of God, trouble's going to find you. Here are Nehemiah and the workers, and they're quite literally minding their own business. Indeed, they're minding the business of the Lord. They're not out to antagonize people. They're not out to rub people the wrong way. They're not looking for bother. They're not there to cause trouble. But trouble finds them. Notice the animosity to begin with this morning as we think of trouble finding them. As I say, verse number one, but it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall. Sanballat heard that things were going well. The Jews had been building away. If they had been building their own wall in their own home, there'd have been no bother. But this was something they were doing for the Lord. And because they were doing it for the Lord, the enemy wasn't happy. You see, for years they sat amongst the ruins and nobody bothered them. For years they did absolutely nothing for the glory of the Lord. And they were no bother. The enemy wasn't concerned. And you can make the application yourself this morning. As a child of God, if we do nothing for the Lord, if we're not seeking to be fruitful for the Lord, if we're not concerned about souls, then, well really, there's going to be no bother from the old enemy. He has you exactly where he wants you. And for years, they were where the devil wanted them. But now they started to build this wall. They started to do something that was going to bring glory to the Lord. And the Sanballat is angry here. It says he was wroth. The old devil is angry when a child of God begins to move in the right direction. And I'm sure most of you who are saved this morning know all about it. You see the animosity. You see the geography. Look down to verse number 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites, I just want to show you the breadth of the opposition, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. They're not just angry now, they're very angry. You see, in the north was Sanballat and the Samaritans. To the east was Tobiah and the Ammonites. To the south was Geshem, we'll meet him later on, and the Arabians. To the west was the Ashdodites. You see, here is a Jerusalem, and it's completely surrounded by enemies. And so, if you like, they're completely surrounded. There's trouble coming from every direction. And that can be so true for a child of God. We have the old saying, it never rains, but it pours, and sometimes trouble comes from every direction. The saddest direction of all is the direction from where you least expect. And we'll say more about this next week, but sometimes trouble can come from those who are close to us. Do you remember what David said in Psalm 55? For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. And David was betrayed by a close friend. And of course, this was prophetic of Christ being betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And sometimes the enemies are all around us, and the most difficult ones to accept are those who are closest to us. But the enemies were there, and the enemies didn't want them to make progress here in the work of the Lord. You see the animosity, you see the geography, they're completely surrounded. You see their unity. And I'm talking about the enemies of God. You see, none of these nations, these peoples really liked each other. But such was their hatred for the Jews that had brought them together. It's an awful thing. And I've seen it in churches. Now, I'm not talking about this church. Where hatred for a person or hatred for a family has brought others together. And the only thing that they have in common is their dislike for someone else. When that person eventually leaves the church, because that's what's going to happen, then they fall out among themselves because they realize their friendship was built on a filthy foundation. I say, I don't sense it here, but I have seen it in other places. And the thing that brought them together was their hatred for the Jews, which is a sad way, but of course, that's exactly what happened to Christ. Mark 3, verse 6, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they meant to destroy him. Luke 23, verse 12, the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends. Their friendship was built on a hatred for Christ. And the friendship here, the unity they had, was built on being anti-God and anti-gospel. You will see it in Parliament. You will see it in Stormont. You'll have unionist parties and nationalist parties and all sorts of parties voting in things that are contrary to the Word of God. And they may not have much likelihood for each other, but when it comes to being anti-God, they seem to find something in common. You see, they had unity of purpose. Look at verse number 8. And since conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem, and here's the key, to hinder it. To hinder it. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, there'll be someone will seek to hinder it. Now, I'm talking about the devil. You don't know who the devil's going to use. But he could use someone to seek to hinder the work of God in your life, the work of God in this church. That word hinder, according to Sam Carson, can be translated by the word miscarriage. It's the idea of aborting something. And the devil would love to see the work of God here aborted. And he would love to see the work of God in your life, in your home, in your family aborted. So I'm just making you aware this morning. Don't go looking for trouble. Because let me tell you, if you seek to live for the Lord, trouble will find you. You see, trouble will find you. And then you see the tactics here to flatten you. There are five things that are mentioned here this morning that the old enemy uses to try and hinder the work of God here in the days of Nehemiah. And of course, we want to look at them this morning because we're told in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, that we're not to be ignorant of his devices. Part of my occupation is that you might be prepared for the enemy, that you'll not be ignorant of his devices, so that you can spot the enemy, you can hear the enemy, and you know that's not of the Lord, that's of the devil, and you not want to have anything to do with it. You see, not only can the enemy be angry when God is blessing, but you know, believers can be angry when God is blessing. Do you know what the Lord said to Jonah? Doest thou well to be angry? God had moved in revival and Jonah was angry. He didn't want the Ninevites saved. He wanted the Ninevites to go to hell. Now that's hard for us to believe. But God was blessing and Jonah was angry. And sometimes even some of God's people can be angry when God is blessing. And the angry people are dangerous people. And just like David faced the scorn of Goliath, many of God's people were mocked. We read of them in Hebrews 11, verse 36. We read about Christ being mocked at Calvary and over again. And the world will laugh at us. And what a weapon laughter is in the hands of the enemy. And some young people have been taken off course. They've taken their first drink because of the laughter of the word. They've smoked their first joint because of the laughter of the word. Some young people, and I know them in a family service, have lost their purity because of the laughter of the word. That's the way the word does it. That's how the world behaves, and we're laughed at, and how we need to pray for our young people, and how our young people need to stay together and stick together and be encouraged together and built up together. Because there's a world out there wants to laugh at them when they get to university, when they go to school, when they even eventually come into the workplace. There'll be pressure on them to conform to this old world. And so don't minimize the laughter of the world. It's a powerful, powerful weapon in the hands of the enemy. And here are the enemies, and they're laughing at the Jews. Now, here's what they're saying. Look at verse number 2. How feeble you are. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? If I could put it into modern language, you're a weak bunch of losers. That's really what he's saying. They're just feeble. The word means withered and miserable. And when the world looks upon you and looks upon the people of God, what a feeble bunch we are. They don't understand. You see, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty and dear, feeble child of God, God can do something amazing with you. In your life, yes, we may be feeble in the world. We may now be small in number. We may not have a loud voice, but God can do wonderful things with you. He could do amazing things with a sling and a stone, a borrowed ass, or an ox goad. And God can use you because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the old devil says, what a feeble bunch you are. Then he says not only about their feebleness, he talks about their futility. Look at verse 2 again. What do these feeble Jews? And then the question, will they fortify themselves? That word fortify means to leave. It's an awkward way of saying, will they be able to do it themselves? Do they really think they can do this? This task of building these walls? Look at this feeble bunch. How futile it is. They're laughing at their resources. They hadn't much money. They're laughing at their numbers there. There's not many of them. And I'm sure people maybe look at us at sometimes or any band of God's people and think, what a motley crew. Look at all there is of them. And I know that we thank God for everyone here this morning and everyone watching, but you walk through the town of Rough Ryland, there's hundreds of people that know nothing about Jesus Christ and have little or no time for the Lord. And many now have not even a church connection of any sort at all. And here's this feeble bunch, this futile bunch. What do they really think they're going to do for the Lord? Yes, we may be small in number. We may be small in resources. The devil seems to have plenty of resources. And how the teaching from the media has rammed down our children's throats. These anti-God, anti-biblical messages, and over again, we're being conditioned to accept things as normal, which the Bible says are not normal. Indeed, they're abhorrent and immoral. You're a feeble lot. It's futile what you're trying to do. Do you feel like giving up? Then they looked at their faith. Look at verse 2 again. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? You know, they're mocking their worship here. They're mocking their faith. Every Old Testament sacrifice pointed to Calvary. They're mocking Christ here. I'm sure when people see God's people going to a prayer meeting, I'm sure they laugh and snigger at times. No, they laugh at our faith. They laugh at our worship. The fact that we would gather to remember the Lord, the fact that we would gather around the Word of God. People from all different backgrounds, all different walks of life. And yet the one thing that connects us is the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's a desire, and we thank God for the desire for the Word of God. And how the world will laugh at our feebleness, our futility, our faith, even our fervor. Look at verse 2 again. And you see all the questions here. Will they make an end in a day? Again, sometimes the Hebrew is difficult, but it appears that they were working so hard that they wanted to get the wall complete. It's as if you're saying Rome wasn't built in a day. This is really what they're saying. Do they really think they're going to build this so quickly? Because there was so much energy, so much zeal, so much fervor, so much interest, and the world's laughing at them. And let me say again, child of God, when you take a stand for Christ, when you seek to live for Christ, show some zeal, some fervor, some interest. When you attend the meetings, when you pray, when you have an interest in the Word of God, when you witness, when you're really on fire for the Lord, the world will laugh at you. And sometimes God's people laugh at you. See the fervor? They were working so hard. They're basically sarcastically saying, do they think they're going to build it in a day? And they made fun of their feebleness, their futility, their faith, their fervor, and even the fabric they were using. Look at verse 2 again. The last question. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? You see, they looked at the material they were using. Do you remember the gates had been burned? I don't believe that the stones were burnt. I think this was a lie. But no doubt the stones have been lying, they're covered in dust, they're something of very little value. They're just a pile of old stones. And they're making fun of the materials they're using. And how the world will make fun of the materials we use when we seek to build our lives, when we seek to build this church, when you seek to build your home. This old book, the Word of God, and maybe it's lying in your house like an old stone that's covered in dust. Do you need to take this book and do you need to dust it down and do you need to get into it? You see, the world says you can't build anything in this old stone. Maybe you had a prayer closet at home. Somewhere you just got alone with the Lord, but maybe you need to go into it and take the duster with you. And there's some cobwebs in it. And you need to dust it down. You need to give it a bit of a clean because it hasn't been used for a while. And the old devil's saying, what will that dusty old prayer closet, what can you do with that? And you're this dusty old material. And you need to dust down the Word of God. You need to dust down the place of prayer. And the Word says these things don't really matter. Maybe you need to dust down your attitude. Maybe you need to dust down forgiveness and love and compassion. And indeed, all of the fruit of the Spirit. And you need to dust down your love one for another. What a mighty weapon the love that God's people have for each other is in the hands of God. And it's great to hear some people say to me recently how they felt so loved here. And how they could see the love of God here. And it's really encouraging. And maybe you're not part of it. And maybe you're not in it. And God's saying to you this morning, it's time to dust down the Word of God. Dust down the old prayer mat. That old place of prayer. Dust down your attitudes and it's time to really live for Christ. Let the world laugh if they want. Because God's going to have the last laugh. You see the tactics to flatten you. You see the trouble that will find you. And here's the treatment that floors you. Look at verse number 3. We'll do this quickly. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. And even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. What he's really saying of a little fox. I know Andrew must have been chased by an awful huge lamb when he was young. I'm sure it was a monster. But really they're saying this is just a little baby fox. You see what they've built so far? A little baby fox walking along the top of it, it would go tumbling down. It's pathetic. That's what they say about the work of God. I would say to Sunday school teachers, maybe it's a little class, but every child is so precious. What a wonderful gift from God for you to put the love of Christ into these young hearts. Maybe sometimes you come to the prayer meeting and I've often said, we don't need a bulldozer or a builder to build a bigger meeting for a prayer meeting. We don't have to worry about social distancing when it comes to a prayer meeting. Seems to be ample room, doesn't there? And yet, when you stand up some nights, and perhaps not many here, God has to say to me, thank God for those that are here. Thank God for those that are here. I'll tell you, a little fox won't knock down, no matter how small a band of people they are, if they're earnestly, fervently seeking God's face in prayer. But the old world would say, a little fox. Little fox will knock that down. Sure, it's worth nothing. And you can see how the enemy was trying to discourage the people of God here, trying to get them to stop the work. You see the trouble will find you. You see the tactics that will flatten you. You see the treatment that floors you. You see the task that's for you. You know, what are we going to do about this? Someone criticized me this week. Told me I didn't care. They told me I wasn't interested in them. And it was Oswald Chambers says in his book about leadership, no leader is exempt from criticism. His humility will nowhere be seen more clearly in the manner in which he accepts or reacts to criticism. I just said to that person, I love you. and I'm praying for you. And I hope God moves in your heart. Because you see, when Christ was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. What does Nehemiah do? Here's something to avoid. Look at verses 4 and 5. Let me tell you something he avoids. There's no slanging match here. Nehemiah doesn't see the advantage of getting into an argument here with Sanballat and Tobiah. And so he doesn't see any point in arguing with the people here. No point getting into a row. You see something to avoid. Then you see the supplication to adopt. Look at verse 4. Here's Nehemiah speaking. Hear, O God, for we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Look down to verse number 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. Nevertheless. They were saying all these things about them. And Nehemiah here is in charge of this great company who for years have done nothing, and now they're serving the Lord, and the wall is being built and things are moving on. And here's these old adversaries, and they're slanging match. They're saying all this about him, and Nehemiah's not going to get engaged in an arguing match. He gets on his knees and he starts to pray. And he's praying in spite of provocation, in spite of problems, in spite of persecution. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. They did more than that and set a watch against them day and night. You know what they're doing? They're watching and praying. Look at down to verse 13. I didn't read it this morning. Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. He set a watch in the lower places and in the higher places. And you see, when you're at a low, and I know some of you this morning are at a low, and how you need to set a watch and how you need to pray and keep in touch with the Lord. See, when you're on a high, you need to do exactly the same. Because sometimes we can fall from a great height. And here is Nehemiah, and they're going to watch, and they're going to pray. You see what he avoided? You see what he activates? He has them praying. Look finally at the triumph that fortifies you. Look at verse number 6. I love this. So built we the wall. So built we the wall. They started the building program. And here is an assault against it, to try and hinder, to try and stop it, to try and cause it to fail. So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Thank God for a people like that. Some of God's people have a mind to argue. Some of God's people have a mind to complain. Some of God's people have a mind to whinge and to moan. Thank God for those who have a mind to work. Thank God for them. They're not going to be distracted. They're not going to be deflected. They're not going to be defeated. They're not going to be deterred. They have a mind to work. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I think it was Alan Redpath said, their backs were to the wall. Their mouths engaged in prayer. Their eyes were open to see what was happening. And their minds were on the work. And God blessed them. And so built we the wall. There was trouble in the rubble, but Nehemiah steered them through it. And the work continued. So built we the wall. I wonder this morning, are you sealed? You see, this morning there's two sides in this chapter we've read. There's those who were for the Lord and for his work, and there were those who were against it. Which side are you on this morning? Mike Nesbitt, when he was the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, said in 2015, when the Ulster Unionist Party voted against same-sex marriage, he said, I fear we're on the wrong side of history. I don't mind being on the wrong side of history. I don't want to be on the wrong side of Scripture. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're on the wrong side. And maybe you're not as in their face as Sanballat and Tobiah is, but you're on the same side. You're against God. You're against his people. You're against the things of God. And how you need to change sides this morning. And how you need to come over to the side of Christ this morning. Because one day, you'll waken up discovering the wrong side of Scripture. And this book says you'll be lost in hell for all eternity. Dale Carnegie said any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most do. Any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most do. I think it was Swindell said, we must be knocked down. We may be knocked down, but we're not going to be knocked out. There was trouble in the rubble. You know what Nehemiah said? Hand me another brick. Hand me another brick. When it comes to trouble in the rubble, would you be the cause of it? Or would you want to conquer it? You see, if you look at verse number 10, I'm not going to preach next week's sermon now, time is gone. See what it says? And Judah said, there's going to be a crack in the wall. You know where it's coming from? Judah. Should be the leading tribe. Should be the one to stand up and give the example. And Judah said, from the least expected source, a crack begins to appear in the wall. Will you be the cause of it? Or do you want to conquer it? There's trouble in the rubble. Will we be like Nehemiah? Hand me another brick. Hand me another brick. Let's pray. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for making us aware of the trouble that we can face when we seek to go forward with thee. Indeed, Lord, there can be trouble in the rubble. But we thank you we've got a great God and a wonderful Savior. Lord, we pray for the spirit that Nehemiah had. So built we the wall. Daniel said the wall was built in troublous times. And Lord, there's troublous times all around us. And yet Daniel prophesied the wall will be built in troubled times. Lord, in spite of the pandemic, in spite of what's going on, and some people are having real difficulties within their life, in spite of all that's going on, Lord, help us to say, hand me another brick, and to keep our eye on the Lord in these days. For it's in and through your Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.